Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page. It's an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with a special guest of the day, and we usually are talking about a topic relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. And it's a delight to have the different topics and educational opportunities available to those that wish to watch and tune in live, but we also have the archived videos of past shows that you can access on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, as well as on my YouTube channel. And I encourage you to do that because it's been 6 years of episodes, so lots of great guests, lots of great topics that you can continue learning more about your own spiritual understanding and about mediumship. And today I have on my show Rita Berkowitz. Hello, Rita.
Hello, good morning. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. For those of you who don't know who Rita Berkowitz is, she is a spirit artist, an evidential medium, and also a retired pastor of the First Spiritualist Church of Quincy in Massachusetts. So she's coming to us live from Massachusetts. And I know you're a former tutor at Arthur Findlay College, as well as being an author especially that beautiful book, The Complete Idiot's Guide. Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirit. I know you co-authored that book, and some of your art is featured in that book. And I think it's, you know, people may have remembered seeing that in the various bookstores across the United States, The Complete Idiot's Guide. I think it's still available for people who are interested in reading that one. And you also authored the book, Empowering Your Life with Angels. What a delightful thing. And I know, as well as being very much a certified medium and popular throughout the United States and England, you have a master's in psychological counseling. So I'm sure that has always added to your particular readings and demonstrations with spirit as well. So we're very excited to have Rita on the show today because she is a spirit artist. And I know I featured spirit artists on the show before, including my mother, Bonnie White, and Joseph Scheel. And there are other spirit artists in the world, but I know that Rita really has developed her spirit artist gifts to high level, high degree. And we really appreciate you coming on the show today to share about your process. And so the title of today's show is The Spirit Artist. And boom. So for those of people who haven't become familiar with spirit artist, let's explain a little bit about what is a spirit artist and how does that differ from, let's say, a regular medium or a regular artist?
Okay. Well, I would say different than a regular medium is when I am doing my work, I am getting a visual that appears to me very much like a hologram. And they will show me this image, the communicator, and I will see the image sometimes up to 6 weeks before a particular demonstration. And then I have to say, which demonstration do you go to? Who do you want to go to? Don't just appear to me. Tell me who you are. And then from there, you know, when I'm on a platform at a church or if I'm doing a public demonstration, I will have a large white pad in front of me, and I will have the image many times in my head first and other times not. Usually the first image, I like to have a little someplace to start, so I worked with my guides to say, just let me know where to start, and so I can start with that. And they've been, in the last few years, very accommodating with that. So I will see the image, and I will start to sketch, and as I'm sketching, as my hand is moving, more and more facts are coming about the communicator. And so that's what I do when I'm on a platform doing my spirit art.
Beautiful. And so as that's emerging in front of people, you are connecting deeply with spirit. And let's talk a little bit about your tools of the trade, shall we say.
Okay.
Like what you use for your paper and what you use for, I know we talked before, you use Conti crayons.
I use Conti crayons,
yeah. Yes. And so for those of you who don't know Conti crayons, because you're used to either idea of pastels or watercolors or things like that, they are a little harder than a pastel. And there's a softness, like a clay waxiness to them, usually white, black, or that sienna color.
Which is the color I like best.
Yes. It's kind of like that rusty color.
Yeah, the color, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so what size paper do you end up using usually?
I use a 24 by 36 paper. I use one of those large post-it pads.
There you go.
So one of the things that, you know, I do in many places, if it's, you know, acceptable in the place, is I take it off and then put it on the wall.
Mm.
And so at the end of the demonstration, the audience or congregation will see maybe five or six different drawings up there, and then whoever it goes to can take it, you know, home with them. But I don't keep them. Thank you very much. It's like breaking the link at the end of the reading. You don't want to take them home with you.
No,
don't take them home with you.
People who are developing mediums, you do not let the spirits take up residence in your own home. They go with their people and visit with them.
I use the expression when I'm teaching is that the medium is the extension cord between the two worlds. So don't think of yourself as you're the person that's the only one that can help these people. No, you are an extension cord. You don't care if you're the vacuum cleaner or the electric fan, you're the extension cord. Perfect.
Yes, and so there's some important emotional distancing that goes on. As mediums, we can be feelers and we can care a lot, but you do need to keep that in mind when you do this. Now, I wanted to ask in terms of when you're doing the art, initially when you first started, you did one-on-ones with people, private sessions, and then you moved more to doing the public demonstration, and you used to face them and draw. But eventually this evolved for you that your back was to the audience, so to speak, and you would have your big piece of paper there and your Conti crayons. Yes. And is there an essence of feeling that spirit is guiding your hand during those moments?
Absolutely, without question. As we were chatting before, I mentioned times that they will say, just trust.
Yeah.
So they won't show me anything first.
Yes.
I'm happier when they do show me something first. But, as the human part of me, I want to be able to do a successful demonstration, so on and so forth. But there are times that they'll say, just trust, and I just let my hand go.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like automatic writing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the most common. I would say probably maybe 5% happens that way, and about 95% I get an image in my head. They will show me the image, and then, I will feel the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned that I had the master's in psych. When I feel the person, I can feel their idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel their emotional distress or not.
Right.
I can feel if they were a really happy person. I can feel if they were a very playful person. We did a demonstration this spring where I drew a man, and he kept referring to his gorgeous silver hair as I was drawing him. And he was, and he was a sexy older man, shall we say.
The silver fox.
The silver fox. And the woman said, he's mine, ripped out a 4x6-inch photograph from her purse that we could put in front of the camera so the whole audience could see it. Matched perfectly. And she used to call him her silver fox, exactly that. So, yes, you're tuned in this morning.
I am.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, it's one of those gorgeous things that happen. And you can't plan it. I, you know, there was another time when I was doing a demonstration, drew the man, nobody raised their hand. So I trained my students, you look around and you see who it goes to.
Yes.
So I looked around and I said, this gentleman goes to you, doesn't he? And the woman looks at me with a sort of look on her face, well, it does look like my ex-husband. And, you know, and this guy, he was not a good husband. There's no question about it. But he loved her. And he wanted to get across, I know I couldn't behave well. I just didn't have it in me to behave well. But I loved you. And the healing that happened, the difference in the woman's face when she walked into the demonstration, because she was sitting close to the front, when she walked into the demonstration, and when she left, she walked up to that picture, that was one on the wall, she walked up to, this is for me, oh yes, she's chatting with her friends, and she's all happy, and so on and so forth. And that's like just an immediate situation of seeing the healing that comes from the work that we do as a spirit artist, which is the most important thing for me.
Yeah.
I got involved in spiritualism to become a healer, not to become a medium, definitely not to become a spirit artist. They dragged me.
And they were like, yes, you, by the scruff of your neck,
literally,
you will be a spirit artist.
You will be a spirit artist.
And yes, Jewel Sargent.
The story of how it started, there was a woman in the Swampscott Church of Spiritualism, which is where I started, and Barbara Farewell, and she was one of the mediums there, and she would walk around me saying, you're going to become a spirit artist, and they used to say, Barbara, shut up. I don't want to be a spirit artist. It's hokey. It's not anything I want to do. I don't know why. I want to be a healer. That's what I'm interested in. And she was relentless about walking right up behind me and saying, you're going to be a spirit artist. I'm getting it from spirit. So finally, to dissuade this conversation, I agreed to go to her class, and I did three spirit drawings. One was a Native American guide, which to me is no big whoop, you know, because a lot of us have them. Second was a middle-aged man. Third was an adolescent boy. After I drew the adolescent boy, a man took a photograph out of his wallet, laid it down next to it, and said, that's my son. I can't thank you enough. And then I looked at the person I did the middle-aged man for. And she was sitting there crying and said to me, that's my father. And I said, oh, my God, my life is about to change.
Yeah. When you know you can help people in that way, the way
it's
mediumship
so
helps people, you have to do the work. You have to do the
work. I have to do the work. You can't say no anymore. And I was, you know, an artist in the south end of Boston, for those people who know that area. It was a party place. You know, and I was having a good time and had no conception that I was going to do anything that was religious, no less become a spiritual minister, run a church for 17 years. And, you know, it's like, who thought?
So, you know, there, you know, that begs the question, there's art and then there's spirit art. And then there's also spiritual art. Let's categorize them three different ways, actually. So we have the art that you might see in the art museum, but sometimes you can start to feel the spiritual art that they go into. And I have featured in the past Hilma Off Klint. We've featured her and her spirit art, her spiritual art that is involved with that. So sometimes, you know, abstract or even other forms of art will evoke this sacred connection. But spirit art, in terms of mediumship, is showing the faces. And sometimes pets will come in, and those are delightful as well. And
unless you're very used to drawing. Right.
Otherwise, all dogs end up looking like an Ewok, probably. So you have to be careful. Too much fur! But, you know, it's sometimes the hint of that with them. As well, but you focus primarily on human faces, and it's usually just from here to, you know,
I
above, right? Or do you ever get the full body?
I do sketch the full body. I don't usually draw the full body because, you know, it's to be able to draw the face that big and see the exact proportions of the face and so on is one thing. And I used to do large figurative paintings years ago that were 5 by 6 feet. So the faces were that big on the painting. So it's a very natural thing for me to draw that size. But the other thing is that when, you know, proven continuity of life is what we do. So if I have a whole congregation, and before we had all the camera setups that we could then zoom and focus on, the, you know, on a projector wall and blah, 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 and they could see, you know, you had to make sure that the audience could see what I was doing. Yeah. I wanted the person in the back row to be able to see the face that I drew as well as the person in the first row.
And so you set that intention in advance.
Yeah.
You're going to give me, like, the headshot for your DMV photo for your driver's license.
Exactly.
That's what we want. And
Better looking.
and it's like they sat for their passport photo, right?
Yeah.
And there it is. And then you're also adding in, as I know my mother does and Joseph do, they add in the understanding of what other aspects are involved with them physically. You know, they may be drawn to their hands but not draw them. They may be drawn to, say, this person wears a hat, but not necessarily put it in the portrait. Sometimes they are, sometimes they are.
I have hat guys. They let me, I'm an old-fashioned designer from a million years ago. So they let me know the clothes, and
great.
They let me know the hats, and sometimes it's the one hat that grandma wore to your wedding.
Nice.
Or it's the, you know, that kind of thing, or like the gentleman walking down Fifth Avenue with a sweater tied over his shoulders that I was talking about before.
Yes.
And
or uniform, you know, if they're in uniform.
Or if they're in uniform.
Right.
So that kind of thing will show itself and will show itself and will give you more of the essence of who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
There's this personality. I mean, one that I did, you know, that I'm recalling because my granddaughter was the first time she ever came to a demonstration. She was excited as anything. But there was a woman that came through with a pillbox hat with three large feathers that came out of the top. And the person said, yeah, to the wedding, you know. So
couture.
Yes. Very, very theatrical, very, you know. And so part of the clothes, when you see them, gives you part of the personality of who this person is. Because, you know, my grandmother would never wear a hat with three large feathers coming out of it. I would, but my grandmother wouldn't. So, you know, when I saw that, I said, oh, I like this lady. And there is times when you're doing this where you're, in fact, feeling like, you know, and I said it during demonstration, she and I would have become friends.
And it happens that way. You start to get close to the people in spirit, and you're like, I like you. You can stay.
I like you.
And when that happens, you just feel such camaraderie that it is a more effective conversation than someone who's stilted. And but when they are providing this and they're using you as the artist, you can feel them correct you at times. Right?
Oh,
so they're like, oh, my nose is not that big.
Take that off. That's not what I want.
Right.
No, they have corrected me. It's a strange experience when all of a sudden they say, you know, and I said, you know, they're correcting me. You know, it's like, wait a second, I'm the master at this. Why are you correcting me? And, you know, but they do. And then, you know, you may move a mole or change the angle of a wrinkle or, you know, it could be anything very slight or change the direction of the bangs that she has on her hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I always listen to that because when they're correcting me, I know they know better.
Yeah.
It's not because I think I made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's because they're saying, draw it this way, the sitter will recognize her.
Yes. And it's not like those caricatures that you can get on the street, per se.
No, it's not
like that, just so everybody's clear. You are having to get this drawing accomplished in a short amount of time. So how long does that drawing usually take for you?
If I'm on stage or, you know, for a service, I allow 7-8 minutes per portrait and communication, because I want to be able to get to
as many as you can.
As many as I possibly can. So I'm moving when I'm doing it. And my artist friends always say to me, how come you paint so fast? But I said, because I am used to being on a stage where I have a set amount of time And it really is like that kind of, you know, energy, like, whoo, you know, and I am moving. I never stop moving, and I'm talking while I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting to do. And even more exciting when you turn around and only one person out of 150 has their hand raised.
Right, right.
That's my intention.
But you typically are always indirect nowadays. But before, you would have gone direct to different folks, but you've gone to the indirect as your primary.
Well, the indirect for me in what I do lets the people watching know that I'm not picking somebody.
Right.
You know, that I'm not picking my friend whose mother I happen to have had 6 cups of coffee with before she passed.
Sure.
And, you know, and my back is to them. So they know I'm not looking at anybody to see, does it look like so-and-so?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because my own husband thought I was just looking at, say, your face and putting on a frilly collar and a big puffed hair.
How rude. He thought you were doing that.
He thought that's what I was doing. I said, no, honey, that's not
no,
how
it is. No. And now you also do normal, regular mediumship as well, not just your art, but it's become what you've been more well known for over the years because of your own professional background. Would you say other people who are not professional artists would have success in developing spirit artist abilities? Or do you feel that it is more the domain of people who are familiar with art?
I would say your guides use the gifts you have. Mm-hmm. You were given certain gifts. And so in talking to other mediums over the years, because my gift is visual, okay, I was a painter before, I'm still a painter now, so my gifts are visual. A friend of mine said that she noticed that those people who did a lot of writing tell more stories. I describe things a lot more. But people that say are more literary might tell a story about the person. And so they're getting from spirit, which coincides with the gifts that they have. And so the art, for me, since I was an artist, spirit said, okay, we got one here. Let's use her. You know?
That's right. And so, which brings us to two other kinds of spirit art. You know, there's precipitated paintings that spirit artist mediums do as well, where they just provide the materials, they sit, and spirit does the work. Have you ever felt that, to some extent, because you're having to move fast with these things, that any of it has been precipitated, just as a curiosity?
Yes. Not as often.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, in my paintings, years ago, I used to do abstract paintings. Again, large scale. I don't know what it was in the 80s, but you were supposed to paint big. So I would paint these huge paintings, abstract, but I felt like I was guided. I would meditate in the middle of doing them if I couldn't figure out what to do next.
Right.
And so when I can't open my eyes from the meditation, in the meditation I would see the painting finished.
Mm.
And
very cool.
There's no time in spirit, so
right.
I just went a few weeks ahead to see it finished, because I know what I had to do now.
Yeah, might as well hit the fast forward button. And so, don't you feel that spirit works so beautifully with artists and other mediums alike to get these downloads so that they do have a sense of the whole picture? It's that download that comes, and so, you know, when you're practiced receiving the download, then all you have to do is describe it. All you have to do is do the art. But then there's a secondary thing I wanted to ask you in terms of spirit art. You know, in spiritism, different from spiritualism, as some of our folks that are tuning in might not know the difference. But in spiritism, they also do spirit communication, and they do much more of the channeling of artists that have gone before. So here comes Monet, and here comes Van Gogh, and here comes art that's on the canvas. And you get these downloads, these inspirations that you did with your abstract art. Did you ever feel that a master was working with you in that capacity as well?
Okay, so I will tell you that Mavis Patilla.
She's been on the show before and dearly missed, yes.
Dearly missed. Mavis came to our church and did a workshop. And in the workshop, we were to connect with our guides. And in that, I connected with a man that I had realized was a painting guide of mine. I had painted a portrait of this unknown man, mm-hmm. and he was a monk. And, you know, somebody came into my studio and said, "Who is that guy?" And I said, "He's my guide." And he goes, "Okay, you know, okay, really?" And I said, and he lived in the late 14th century, so late 1300s, early 1400s. He was originally from Italy, and his name sounds like that liqueur. What are you talking about? I said, Frangelico. And, you know, that almond liqueur. He said, "Well, I know that, but, you know, okay." He didn't know who it was. I was not totally familiar with the name. 3 weeks later, I'm in my closet. I hear my father's voice from spirit saying, "Look it up," which my father always said to me. We're talking about back in the days of I had to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. I couldn't go online to look it up.
Right.
And I looked it up, and there was not a photograph of him, but there was Fra Angelico, painted 13 to 1400s, originally from Italy, so on and so forth. And I said, "Great, okay, you know, so on and so forth. Isn't that nice, blah, blah, blah." And then I hear from spirit, because I was teaching at the Worcester Art Museum in Massachusetts, and I went into their library, and I said, "Okay, I want to find this guy." And so I found a book on him that was written in the 1800s. And opened the book up, and you know how psychometry works so beautifully with
yes.
it. So I opened the book up, and there it says, "Master of Hands and Faces, too interested in painterly qualities." And that was when I was doing the large-scale portraits, it was during that time. And that's what a newspaper reporter wrote about a show I was having, "Master of Hands and Faces, not enough interest in painterly quality," which is what was written in this book in the 1800s. And that, to me, you can't get more evidence.
No, you're both critiqued in the same way.
Yeah, and negative critique in the same way.
But, wasn't that nice that there was that positive at the beginning? You know?
It was positive, but the fact that in both of them there wasn't enough painterly quality.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know,
the exact phrasing.
Really, and what are the chances, really? So, you know.
So that's probably when he said, "That's my girl, I want to go help her."
And, you know, we were together since then. So,
yeah. It's beautiful when you can feel them working so closely with you. I know my mother feels the help of her guides in her work, and it's incredible how all of a sudden she'll just know that she needs to put something there in the in the painting or in the drawing, because she also does
right.
like the big color ones
yeah.
with acrylics. And do you do the big color ones still, or do you stick with the drawings?
For
spirit art, because she also does spirit art in like those color acrylics, because oils are too smelly.
I love the smell of oils, but that's a whole lot.
But you know, a client goes like sitting
well,
for
first
with
the clients won't be able to take it home easily because
right.
it would be a wet piece.
Well, they usually have to let it dry and kind of cure a little bit before they can take it.
Well, what I was doing when I was doing the private sitting,
mm-hmm.
I would give them the choice black and white or color. At that point, I would draw on a 14 by 17 pad,
yeah.
Strathmore drawing paper. It had to be Strathmore. I liked the
yeah.
tints of it. And if they wanted black and white, it was done in charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was done in color, it was done in pastel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when I did them in pastel, they could take them immediately.
Yes.
When the plot is done. So I would just, in the drawings, I would spray the drawing.
Yeah, to set it.
In a good pastel painting, you don't spray it. So when I'm doing my pastel paintings, you don't spray it. It's put behind glass.
Yes.
But for them to be able to take it home safely, and they're probably not worried about that much of the color changing. Because the color, as a fine artist, you know the color changes when you spray it a little bit.
Yes.
So I don't want my paintings to change color when I'm spraying
mm-hmm.
them. As far as, you know, the spirit art goes, if it's, you know, that tiny decibel darker, it's not going to make a difference to the person, you know, who's receiving it.
So it sounds very similar to my mom's process then, because she does the charcoal and she also does the pastel, and those are her options. And then she does
yeah.
the big one. But you know, she also has had many people report to her later on, once they've got it home, sometimes weeks or months later, that the pictures have changed. That all of a sudden they can see other things that have emerged in it.
Yeah, I've had that.
And faces that are next to the face, and that other people in spirit seem to show up in them, which is so fascinating that spirit is economical to that degree, but also still working on the art, even after the spirit, physical spirit artist on the earth plane is no longer touching it. So it's really beautiful.
People say that it has happened. I did see one where I did a drawing for somebody that was an ancient person, and the person was there watching the crucifixion, and her eyes were closed. And this woman happened to be a healer. And she came to me 3 or 4 years later, and the eyes were opened in the drawing. So, you know, what
yeah.
a message from spirit.
Very
I mean,
much
what
so.
A message that, you know, she's opened now.
Yes. And yes. sometimes that's why, you know, take a picture of your spirit art that you may have received from someone, because you never know what might have shifted
yeah.
in it. And there's evolution.
They
yeah.
always say that to me, that, you know, no matter where I am in the room, that picture's looking right back at me. And that's something that, you know, had been said about my paintings also. But the fact that as they walk across the room, they see the eyes moving, following them across the room.
Kind of like in a Harry Potter movie with the portraits on the wall, and they get to move a little bit.
Exactly.
I think it's beautiful the way spirit art is able to hold an image, evolve an image, and bring through a true remembrance of an individual. And the personality endures beyond so-called death. And then people are able to have that kind of tangible evidence of
yeah.
spirit communication and of their loved one in spirit. It's very different from, my mother used to be commissioned for portraits of people. And I remember more than once there was somebody who would say, can you do a portrait of this person who has passed?
Yeah.
And to bring to life someone who has passed that's not sitting for you, is also difficult. But when you already have those connections with spirit, she was able to do it. And they were able to say, yes, this looks more like my loved one than the photograph does. And so with that, if you're an artist out there, you have that, you might be a great spirit artist.
To get it to be that person, to get it to be the energy of that person as well, whereas if you're copying a photograph, that's a moment in time.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, it's a whole different energy when you work, for me it was, a whole different energy when I'm working, when I'm doing a portrait of somebody versus when I am working from spirit. Working from spirit is an absolute joy.
Yes, yes, it is.
You know, and I can't say it any other way. Working from spirit is an absolute joy. When you are commissioned to do a portrait of someone, when I was commissioned, I can't say, your mother's experience may have been very different. Sometimes that could be very stressful.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they have a specific image that they want. I mean, even there are times that one time a woman had said to me, you know, that's not how I remember my mother.
Mm.
And then sent me a photograph of her mother that matched the drawing almost exactly. And I said, when you sent me the photograph, I was going to ask if I could use it on my website because it matched that beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, but I remember my mother much older.
Mm.
And, you know, spirit is still there.
Yes.
You know?
So they will show themselves sometimes.
Not die.
Yeah.
And they will show themselves. And, you know, and I also, you know, we have a picture in our head of what we look like.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and so I feel that what spirit is showing me is the picture they have in their head. So if they were comfortable with aging, they may show themselves at 92.
Sure, all the wrinkles.
But if it's all, and wonderful, and I love drawing wrinkles, so I have no problems with that. Or they may show themselves at 35 because that's when they thought they looked the best.
Yeah. So they do that, I think, also because that's how they would prefer to be remembered, but also sometimes they revert to that. It is. It is. And so I learned early on to tell the people in spirit, you show up the way you were when you were passed, and because that's the evidence of who you were, and that's how they're going to recognize you. And if a little bit later you want to show me what you look like when you were younger, We can go there too, but first
they will show themselves to me how they want to be seen. Then they may say to me, "But I was 90." You know, say they show themselves at 35, but I was 92 when I passed, and I had this, and this wrong with me.
Yeah.
So you know, they will give that information, but they sure are going to let me draw.
No, because then there's a visual proof of what they look like. Oh.
And who wants to be drawn on their deathbed?
That's right. That's right. So excellent points, Rita. Excellent points. And, you know, in your process of spirit art, do you ever feel that there's a sense of, yes, that it feels very complete? You have done, that spirit's telling you, I'm very happy with how you have presented me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy with how you've been able to describe and convey my messages to my loved ones. And do you ever get that sense that their stamp of approval is on your art too?
I get the sense when I'm demonstrating, it's like they won't let me stop without saying, complete.
That's beautiful. Oh, and another thought I just had. Do they ever come in like a couple that was very married? Do they ever come in, and are you able to draw two people at once, or do you always keep it to one? Do you have rules?
I usually keep it to one.
Mm-hmm.
I can many times say, I have occasionally ripped that off the pad, started doing the second one big.
Yes.
I've had somebody interrupt, and I've had this happen maybe 5 or 6 times over all the years I've done this, had somebody interrupt me and say, I'm going before them.
Oh.
together a fundraiser for an organization called BAMSI, and which helps with people with mental disabilities, different ages, but people with mental disabilities. And so he invited me to come in because he had seen me privately. And so I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, and I'm sketching a young man, blah, 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 you know, and has full head of hair and so on and so forth. I said, oh, my God. And I peeled it off the pad, stuck it to the wall. I said, this other man is absolutely interrupting me. He is not letting me go by. Tony, who's the man who put the event together, had a shaved head, bald as could be. There was a man that came through with a thick head of black hair. All of a sudden, a young man sitting in the audience gets up and walks out. And Tony raises his hand and says, that's my father. The young man that walked out was Tony's son. And when he saw his grandfather appear on the paper, it was so overwhelming for him, he couldn't stay in the room.
Yeah.
And so Tony was thrilled. His son, I think, is still a little afraid of
sure.
him.
Sure. Okay. He'll get over it eventually.
He'll get over it.
And isn't it so beautiful how spirit, they are invested in having a real-time conversation with you. And yeah. as that's emerging and as the message is growing and you're able to deliver that, there's a fullness that comes about. Yeah. And it's gorgeous when people can feel it. But sometimes people aren't ready. Even if they were to have vision, yes, it worked out. He understood. That's my grandpa. You're great. But some people aren't ready to see what's right in front of them, too. Have you dealt with people?
That's what I think happened with him.
Yeah.
He was not ready. It was okay. His father was doing this thing. He came to the events. He was curious, you know, thought he was going to have a few, you know, laughs at the expense of the medium, so on and so forth, because he thought he knew better. And when his grandfather, who was somebody who would interrupt people, had me tear the paper off, put it on the wall, and then,
proceed.
You know, appear on the page, so much so that he was shocked and got up and had to leave the room, and he was in the whole cry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if nothing, it proves to him there is more here. And you know, one of my friends just recently said to me, and she's a painter friend, not a medium friend. We have two different groups.
That's right. Circles.
So my, you know, she's a painter friend, and she said, I can't thank you enough. And I said, for what? You know, we sit here and paint together. I said, you do everything for me. You know, I said, well, she said, you let me know there was more. And she said, that is so incredible for me. You gave me that gift. You let me know there is more.
Yes. And that is the gift of mediumship to the world. That is that recognition that there's something beyond the so-called mundane physical existence. And, you know, I know in my own experience it's so beautiful when people come back and they say, you changed my life because
right.
I had
I
this
had
reading.
It.
You know, and that's, there it is. And just living and being who you are is enough for you to change certain folks in your life, like your friend.
But there are so many wonderful times that happened. A woman came in where I was doing a group of drawings, and she really came in. She thought she was going to have a few laughs, you know, what is she going to draw for me, so on. Maybe I'll get a nice picture of an Indian. And I think we all draw Indians. Native American, but indigenous people, I don't know the right way to say
this. All of the above.
And I drew her mother-in-law, and she was an atheist. Her husband was an atheist. She brought the drawing home and showed her husband. They were both totally freaked out, and then started to study spirituality and became Reiki healers.
Yes.
So, again, change somebody's life.
Yeah.
I took a couple of atheists and showed, you're wrong, I'm right.
So much fun.
to see
that.
It's something like making a big man cry, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to get anything for me, and there's grandma on the page, you know.
Yes, it's undeniable when that occurs. And
yeah.
And some people, that was their burning bush, you know.
Yeah.
That was that their recognition that they wouldn't necessarily have received. You know, people ask for the burning bush, you know, but they don't always see it when it's right in front of them, and they don't always recognize when the divine is working in their lives in those particular ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's where mediumship and where healing and where spiritualism really helps people and fills that gap, that understanding that this is what is normal, this is what is natural, and this is the sacred joy of mediumship that we can offer, and that people have to bring their own experience and understanding to, so that they can evolve their own soul. And that's a deep reason why we work as mediums. And I know...
I lovingly say we're addicted to love.
That's a good one. Addicted to love.
This incredible sensation of the love that continues on. I mean, as mediums, we say love never dies.
That's right.
You know, we say it over and over again. The physical body dies. The connection, the love connection, does not die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the medium, you get to feel love connection. It's like watching a hoorah. You know, you get to feel that love connection. And
vicarious thrill is what I call it.
Exactly. Perfectly said.
We get to live a little bit through other people.
Vicarious thrill.
Yes. And because to feel that love channeling through you for another person, it's phenomenal. It's one of the reasons we do this work.
Yes,
we want to help people, but to be part of a taste of that love, and knowing that that's part of why this all works. This is why mediumship works, is because of love.
That's gorgeous.
I know you are a bit more retired, and if people out there are wanting to book with Rita, you're not really doing an available...
demonstrations, yes. So they can see me do demonstrations. I do some private readings, but I'm not doing the drawings privately at this point. I have gotten to the point in my life where I will serve, you know, churches. That to me is the most important thing.
Yes.
So I serve the churches, and I will, you know, do spirit drawings in, you know, Janet Church was the only church I did spirit drawings in. A major point of the time.
Yes.
Because it was Janet.
Yes, of course. It's Janet. That's
okay.
Why you would do it.
So,
Janet Nohavik, for people who don't know who we're talking about.
Janet Nohavik is from The Journey Within.
Yes.
And from Lilydale.
Yeah.
And so I would do it because she loved the spirit drawing so much.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing a spirit drawing during a church service, you may get one or two, whereas I could possibly touch seven or eight people with a solid message.
Yes.
In a church service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, other than Janet's church, I primarily try to touch as many people as possible.
Yes.
And, you know, that to me is very important. And, you know, the energy that it takes to concentrate all day long and do the spirit drawings all day long, which I did for years, is a lot.
Oh, yeah. It can take its toll on people.
It does have its wear and tear on the medium. You know, people say, the spirit's working through you. Yes, spirit's working through you, but they're using your physicality to be able to do the work. So,
true.
You know, and you're gladly giving it over, which I do whenever I'm demonstrating.
There's a pacing to our life, our pacing to our life as mediums that we always have to be aware of. And I know when we spoke before, you were like, I just wanted to paint, you know, for what I feel inspired to paint. And so you're doing more in the world of spiritual art and, let's say, regular art and that sort of thing. And that's helping you to just enjoy this part of your particular life journey.
Exactly.
Yes. And
I do a lot of fundraisers. We're doing the fundraiser. We just did one for Quincy. We're doing one for Swampscott in the fall. You know, so we do that kind of thing.
Yes.
And that's wonderful. Or, you know, have been occasionally a big audience,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a hall kind
yes.
of place
yes.
where we do a demonstration, you know, and there'll be usually three of us working together.
Mm-hmm. To share the time.
And doing a fun thing at the end, the last communicator, the three of us all tune into the same communicator.
Also, you tag team.
We tag team on the same communicator. So I might start sketching, and then one medium will start doing some more facts about the person, and then go to the next medium who's getting more facts about the person,
mm-hmm.
then back to me who's getting more facts about the person as I'm finishing up the drawing. That has become so exciting to me, because when you see it happen and you see that not only one of us can connect, but that all three of us that are
yeah, objectively, connect, yes.
You know, connecting to this one person. It's been a blast. We've done it probably about 5 times recently, you know, over the last couple of years. I'm loving it.
That's beautiful. It's a collaboration that shows that it's not something that's just in your own head. This is it's happening in real time, and we're all taking part in the conversation, just as if we were all in the room together, you know, enjoying each other and enjoying a spiritual conversation. That's beautiful.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Any last things you'd like to share with folks about spirit art or being
that's
a spirit
beautiful.
Artist or any other nuggets? That come to mind for you?
I would say being a spirit artist, the most important thing is get your head out of it and trust spirit.
Yes.
You know, when you trust that your hand will move in the right direction, it does.
Yeah.
And it's I'm not saying the word trust lightly. You know, it's, you know, I say to my students, capital T, capital R, capital U, capital S, capital D. It's not lowercase anyplace. That trust, and for those who choose to endeavor, because it's scary getting in front of people and try to draw,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that are nobody else can see. But when we go into it, when we do it, when we trust enough, it brings that trust into other parts of your life,
mm-hmm.
which is
yeah.
the beauty. It's the gift that you get back for doing it, even if you're doing it all for free.
Yeah.
You know, it's the gift you get back for doing it. It's that gift of knowing, you know what? I can talk to the divine, and I'm going to get an answer.
Yes.
And the answer's going to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I can trust that.
Yeah.
So even more than, I would say, doing straight mediumship, you know, doing the spirit art, because there's a level there where, you know, I could say, you know, I've got your grandmother here. She baked cookies and she wore an apron. Do you recognize her? You know, and we could, just about all of us could say yes, right? But if her face is there, and again, my goal is one person raise their hand.
Yes.
One person says that's mine. We do have body snatchers, and there are going to be people that want every message for them.
Sure.
God bless them. But, you know, when one person is raising their hand and says, that is absolutely my silver fox, or absolutely my grandmother and her hat at the wedding, or absolutely, you know,
yes.
that's there, you want to have enough evidential mediumship
mm-hmm.
in the spirit drawing itself that you then learn to trust
yeah.
so much that if you're going to the supermarket and you're picking up an apple, you know that when you touch it and it feels like it's delicious, it's not the breed of apple, but the, you know, you feel like it's really going to be a great apple. It's
yes.
going to be crisp. It's going to be juicy. And you can taste it.
Yes.
By touching it, it's the same thing. So you start to know that what I'm feeling, what I'm getting, I can trust.
I can trust. And I know we're almost to time, but there was a beautiful story you shared with me before about your brother if you don't mind just taking a couple minutes, because I think based on this idea of trust, this would be a good segue into that, and that'll be our final story for today.
Okay. So it was at a demonstration I was doing in March, past March, and I'm standing there, and it's my turn to go again. And it was going to be the last one of the, where the three of us were going to work together. And I'm seeing my brother in my head. And I'm saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I can't call him. I can't check and see if he's okay. Why am I seeing my brother? So on and so forth. And then I just heard in my head, go with him. So I did. And I went up to the pad, and I drew this man who had the same hairdo as my brother, who had a nice straight nose like my brother had, who wore his, in the 90s, would wear his sweater wrapped around his shoulder. His shirt was pink. I will never forget that because he was so clear on that pink shirt. And, you know, and I turned to the audience and I said, does anybody, hopefully praying, does anybody recognize this?
Right.
And somebody yelled out, that's my friend Vinny. And they showed me Fifth Avenue where my brother, it's close to where my brother lives. They showed me the Metropolitan Museum where my brother's a docent. They showed me 57th Street and all the galleries, which my brother goes to. And it's like, my brother is still here. I did speak to him a couple of days later and told him the whole story. He thought it was hysterically funny, that probably that I was that petrified that something happened to him. But, you know, yes. So you have to learn to trust. Spirit many times will show you somebody that you specifically recognize as its description.
Yes, and it'll feel like this could be my person that I know, and it's really just a doppelganger, and it's just a way, like a shorthand that Spirit's using so that you know what to convey, how to work through the details, use what's in your own repository of information and experience to convey the evidence so that the spirit communication can be more specific, can be more exact without being your person. So that's a deep amount of trust that Rita had to get to, for sure, to be like, is my brother dead? And so I'll tell you, this happens to us as mediums, whether you're a spirit artist or not. You at some point will feel that you're connecting with someone that you know, and it could throw you. But remember the story that Rita just shared with us today, so that you can get yourself back on track and know that there's a reason, that spirit always has a reason for how they give us the information and want us to convey it in light and love. So, oh, well, this has been great. I really appreciate all of the insights that you've been able to offer us today, the lovely stories, and just so beautiful that you've been able to work through your mediumship career in such a special way and be one of the great spirit artists. And we appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your beautiful soul and self with us. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Tune in next week. We'll have another great guest on the show, Wednesdays with Willa, same time, same place, on my Facebook page, Willow White Medium, on Wednesdays, 10 a.m. Eastern. All right, everyone, take care. Bye-bye.